You are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now present Jesus with Us, Reflections of Joy, hosted by Mary Angela Artuso and Nick Massa.
May you know the joy of Jesus, and may the joy of Jesus be with you. And may the joy of Jesus be with you. May the joy of Jesus be with you.
Good evening. We are Nick and Mary Angela.
Hello.
We're happy to be back with you this evening on our program, Jesus with Us, Reflections of Joy. We would like to offer you thoughts and reflections on the joy of our Catholic faith. Being Catholic brings lots of joy. We are always celebrating. We celebrate the sacraments, we celebrate Mass, we celebrate Christmas and Easter, we celebrate our joy with faith. Let's begin with a prayer. Nick, do you have a prayer?
Yes, I do, Mary Angela, and this prayer is called Prayer to Celebrate Our Joy. Everlasting God, help us to celebrate our joy in the resurrection of the Lord and to express in our lives the love we celebrate. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen. Wonderful way to start the program. So today's program, we thought would be appropriate is to talk a little bit about the joy of the saints. Now, on November 1st, we celebrate All Saints Day. And so we thought it would be appropriate to look at the saints and to reflect on how they demonstrated joy. So what is joy? Well, joy is a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. And I think this is something we always strive for. The saints are people we can look to and learn from. They always showed immense joy. I was Googling some information about joy, and I came across this little article, and it comes from the Catholic Stand. It's written by Melanie Junot, and she writes how often we see saints not really as joyful people, but rather as wholly sad and often people in pain and suffering. And often this is the way they are depicted in arts and paintings. Many feel that holiness is not something joyful. But in fact, come to think of it, we're always called to holiness, called to be saints, but we're also called to joy. And there are many examples of joy from the saints. So let's read a little bit about what she says. And the title of the article is Catholic Joy. Joy is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, not a special gift given to a select few. It is simply a byproduct of living in God. However, when people think of a Catholic saint, the first image that comes to mind is a sad, pale, thin figure, often tortured and in pain, or looking as if he was wearing a hair shirt. That must be very uncomfortable. Traditional Catholic art has reinforced this impression. She says, recently, I was looking at images of smiling or laughing monks. Hundreds of images popped up featuring Buddhist monks laughing, but I had trouble finding a handful of photos or paintings of joyful Catholic monks and priests. So have you seen any happy Catholic priests, monks? When I think of this, I'm reminded of the picture of the laughing Jesus I once saw. We do not often view Jesus in this way of a joyful and laughing Jesus. But I think we are drawn to such as Jesus. We are drawn to people who are happy and joyful. Nick and I often make a point to go on a retreat to the Jesuit-run Manresa in Pickering. And one of the most popular priests to lead the retreat is Father Philip Chirkop. And I think the reason why he's so popular is because he has a presence of joy about him.
Yes, he always has the childlike attitude that he always shares with everyone. Look to your youth to bring that abundant joy and never to lose it.
Yeah, he has a lot of that enthusiasm, doesn't he? So I'm going to just stop right there, and perhaps, Nick, you can go on with a little bit of maybe prayers or reflections of joy.
Well, thank you, Mary Angela. At this time, I'd like to share with you the gifts of the Holy Spirit. When we wake up in the morning, these are seven wonderful gifts that we can use when we choose the attitude of joy. So the first one is wisdom. It is the gift knowing the right choices to make to live a holy life. The gift of wisdom helps you to avoid things that could lead you away from God. The next gift is the gift of understanding. It is the gift of comprehension or the ability to grasp the meaning of the teachings of the church. The gift of wisdom helps you to be tolerant and sympathetic, and leaves lots of room for joy. It helps you sense when someone is hurting or in need of compassion. Right judgment or counsel is the next one. It is the gift of prudence. The gift of right judgment helps you make choices to live as a faithful follower of Jesus. The next gift of the Holy Spirit is courage or fortitude. These are the gifts that help you stand up for your faith in Christ, to celebrate, to be joyous, not to be afraid. The gift of courage helps you overcome any obstacle that would keep you from practicing your faith. And an example is sometimes we should ask ourselves, are we overwhelmed? And if we are, turn it a little bit over and maybe look to be overjoyed. The next gift is the gift of knowledge. This is the gift of knowing and enlightenment. The gift of knowledge enables you to choose the right path that will lead you to God. It encourages you to avoid obstacles that will keep you from Him. Reverence and piety is the next one. This is the gift of reverence inspires you to joyfully want to serve God and others. And the last of the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, you can call it the fear of the Lord or wonder and awe. This is the gift of wonder and respect that encourages you to be in awe of God, that there is a higher power. The gift of wonder and awe moves you to love God so that you will not want to offend Him and always be with Him.
Thanks, Nick, for sharing those gifts of the Holy Spirit. And it's a good reminder that these gifts, when we reflect on them, always bring joy to our life, don't they?
Amen.
Yes, indeed.
Praise the Lord.
Amen, amen. So let's go on with the article that I was talking about from the Catholic Stand by Melanie Juneau. She goes on to say that not being able to find these images of Catholic monks and priests as joyful is a quandary. And since sacred scripture urges people of God to trust and embrace joy, from Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 10, we read, "Do not be grieved, sad, sorrowful, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." And she goes on to say, somehow the average Catholic does not associate joy with holiness, but believes holiness is synonymous with misery. Yes, before someone becomes outraged, redemptive suffering is a powerful vocation. And yet Catholics are more focused on the Passion than on Pentecost, while Pentecostals are more focused on the Pentecost, and so tend to be viewed as, I guess, more joyful. Although we are in a liturgical season of joy, and she's writing during this Easter season, this article, there are still many pictures of the crucified Christ than of the resurrected Christ when you look on Pinterest of Catholic sites. However, what most Catholics experience as they identify with Christ's passion is far from a redemptive, because they are not completely one with Christ, nor are their difficulties lived out in a spirit of divine love. And then she goes on to say, the first time we became aware of a godly life was a joyful life was about 26 years ago, while my husband made a silent retreat at a Trappist monastery near Oka, Quebec. Isn't that the place where they make the cheese?
Yeah, good cheese.
Yeah. Well, her husband, he was walking quietly down a hallway, trying to be quiet and unobtrusive, when a tall, athletic-looking monk threw back his head and let out a full-out belly laugh. That must have been quite the sight. It sparked joy in everyone who heard it. That's what holy laughter does. It ignites the joy of the Lord in others. Another Trappist, Thomas Merton, we know him well, don't we, Nick?
Yes, he's a very good author.
He was asked if it was possible to tell if someone had truly undergone inner purification, becoming transformed into the image of Christ. And he says, it is very difficult to tell, but usually it is accompanied by a wonderful sense of humor. Now, humor is so important, isn't it? To be able to look at life, you know, bring some joy to it, bring some humor.
Is the best medicine. When you're down or having a rough day, always turn to something funny or joyous to make you happy.
Yeah, and it always brings light of the situation, well, or a little, at least it helps to bring some light to it. And that's what I love about you the most, Nick, because you always are making me laugh and bringing humor to our life.
It takes two to tango, so
amen.
We share the joy together.
Okay, let's go on now. Let's reflect on some more reflections of joy from you, Nick.
We go from the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, and we go to the 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit. So when we have joy as the attitude that we choose, these are some of the things that go along with it. So the first one is love. We exhibit the virtue of charity or love by our unselfish devotion and care for God and our neighbor. Joy, which is what we're talking about. We live with joy when we recognize that true happiness comes not from money or possessions, but knowing and following Christ and his way. Peace. We are freed from worrying about trivial things because of the inner peace we experience with God in our hearts. We work and pray for peace throughout the world. Patience. We demonstrate patience by treating others with thoughtfulness and tolerance, just like the way we want people to treat us. We know that we can overcome the temptations and sufferings like the saints did. When you follow God and knowing he is always with us, even in the hard times. Let us strive for kindness. We live the virtue of kindness by treating others as we want to be treated, as mentioned prior. Goodness. We exhibit goodness when we honor God by avoiding sin and always trying to do what we know is right. When we strive or be generous, we demonstrate this wonderful gift, and we share these gifts and possessions with others, because I think one of the fastest ways to make yourself happy and joyous is to help others and to give of yourself. Gentleness. Gentle people act calmly and avoid actions that may lead others to anger or resentment. Faithfulness. We are faithful when we live out our commitment to the teachings of Jesus. Self-control. We exercise self-control by working to overcome temptations when we face the temptations that we face, and we strive to do the will of God, because when we do, we empty ourselves. We don't have any baggage. We don't want to have any things carrying. So, you know, when you have that, the load is light and the joy is great. And chastity, we live a life of chastity. When we use this gift of sexuality wisely, according to God's plan, I'm sure it puts a big smile on his face, because we are holy temples, just like the Holy Spirit. Our bodies are sacred.
Thanks, Nick. Thanks for reminding us of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. So going on with, again, Melanie Junot's article, she goes on to say, talk about a little bit about humor and what humor is. So humor, the ability to laugh and not take ourselves too serious, puts the grueling process of inner transformation into perspective. She says, if I am self-centered because of God-centered, everything becomes intense and dramatic. When I take my eyes off myself, my faith, my religious practices, my spiritual progress, my sins, rather than looking at my Savior, everything comes back into the proper perspective. I'm filled with joy, the joy of the Lord. So it's turning ourselves from inner, looking at me, and outward to others, to, you know, God and to others. There are many amusing stories about the saints which illustrates their joy. And she gives one example here. While on a journey to visit one of her convents, a donkey dumped Saint Teresa of Avila into a stream. The donkey dumped her into a stream of freezing cold water. And standing on her waterlogged, heavy habit, she yelled at God, "If this is how you treat your friends, no wonder you have so few." That must have been funny. And did you ever wonder how the plain, hard-working celibate 17th century Shakers got their name? It's because they shook under the power of God and they danced with joy. And one of their dancing songs is, "'Tis a gift to be simple." The song goes, "'Tis a gift to be simple, 'tis a gift to be free. 'Tis a gift to come down where we ought to be. And when we find ourselves in the place just right, 'twill be the valley of love and delight.'" So no wonder they were persecuted and chased out of Europe. They scandalized, stayed proper, miserable Christians, just like King David danced before the Lord with complete abandonment. So let's just take another break here and have Nick talk a little bit more and give us a little more.
Well, on that note, Miranda, you just made me think about what happens when we choose joy. When we wake up in the morning and say, yes, I want to be joyous. I want to follow the path that Jesus led. Well, these are some simple things. When we choose joy, we will smile. We will feel better. We will be less stressed. We will have lower blood pressure. We will have less wrinkles. We will have less aches and pains. We will have positive adrenaline flowing through your blood. We will be more healthy. We will walk or move faster. We will not fall into a depression. We will sleep better. We will eat better. We will even eat less. We will lose weight. People will want to be with us. We will be a positive sense, filled with joy. So we have to believe in our abilities. Find a sense of purpose in your life. We will, when you're joyous, you will develop a strong social network. And who knows, maybe you can start a company or write a book in regards to joy. You will embrace this new change. You will be optimistic. You will grow as a person. In doing so, you will develop more problem-solving skills to deal with issues, be it at work or outside of work. Because when we establish our goals, we are ready to take on any problems. When we put Jesus at the center, joy is right beside him. Because joy, as mentioned before, Maranja said, is a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. Because it's not just about us. When we become joy, it's a two-person thing. Because the people around us, they become joyous too. When we're depending on God, that's all we need. So rejoice in the Lord is a commandment from Philippians chapter 3. Always be joyful, because our joy is for God's glory. Choose to be joyful. Surrender to the work of the Holy Spirit, which transforms your life and influences it in a positive way. Joy is evangelic. Pursuing joy in God is very different from just enjoying his gifts. Mariangela?
Thanks, Nick. So in summary, I think what you're trying to say is that we have a lot to gain from being joyful. So why bother being other than joyful, right?
Well, sometimes joy takes a lot of work. It's easier to be negative, right? And sometimes people may, whatever, be it the physical or be it mental or just maybe it's the moon is full, right? They choose, it's not that they choose not to be joyful. They're in, a stage
or state, yeah.
A state that, joy
becomes difficult.
Being joyful is also being silent, being at peace.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Everyone has their own definition of what it is to be joyful, because there is no one definition. Because somebody could go climb a mountain up in Mount Everest, or someone can do a 30-day silent retreat.
So, and they can be joyful doing it.
as the quote goes, different strokes for different folks.
Amen.
So what, like at this time, we would like the listeners to pause and reflect. What will bring you joy starting, not tomorrow, in the next minute and leading to the next day, week, and months? What will give you joy? Is it a sense of a better job? Is it a sense of letting things go? Is it staying in the job and making it better? So those are just some ideas. Giving. How about giving away some of the money instead of always wanting to accumulate or expecting a raise?
How about becoming closer to God, having a better relationship with God?
Yeah, so these are just some options that we want to share with you, that what will start you on the joyous path, with Jesus always at the center. Jesus at the beginning, center, and the end, because he is always with us.
So let's just take a short break.
Just singing out tonight, one voice. Jesus at the
Welcome back, dear listeners. So right now, we're going to have some fun. We have a list of joyous words, which we would like to share with you. So what we're going to do is we're just going to make statements, and you could pick out the positive word. So today, Mary Angela, I had an awesome day. I really look forward to it because Monday is an outstanding day. And some of the things that I had noticed were quite astonishing. So I had an advantageous attitude because I felt the abundance of the Lord. And I absolutely knew that He was there. I was truly blessed that in my day today, there were moments of brilliance when you turn to the Lord. I felt completely joyous because I included the divine mercy. Mary Angela, how about yourself? Can you add a couple joyous words?
Sure. With the divine mercy, I feel dynamic and it's a very essential part of my life. It leaves me feeling excellent and effervescent.
Mary Angela, those are quite exceptional words. They really empowered me.
Yep, it's a feeling that's extraordinary.
That's so fantastic.
And it's also fabulous.
When you give of your heart, you will become very
generous.
Yes.
And grateful.
Yes, and the Lord is glorious. But as we mentioned, the seven gifts of the
Holy Spirit
keep us very hopeful and
inspired.
Yes. That's quite impressive. And this is incredible because when you turn your life to the Lord, you become very
jubilant.
And it is very liberating because the Lord is marvelous, miraculous, and most of all,
magnificent and a masterpiece.
Yes. And that's what Father Piccinini told us. When you wake up in the morning and say, Lord, You created a masterpiece. When you say that, you will have a monumental day.
And it'll also be an optimal day.
Yes. And as mentioned before, we will become overjoyed and not overwhelmed. Because our goal is to have an outstanding day. Because the Lord is providential. He truly is phenomenal and positively a genius when we say yes to Him.
And positively remarkable.
Yes, because He has many redeeming things for us when we say yes to Him. Because not every day can be sensational, stupendous, but it can be
special and splendid.
Yes, because a significant part of our lives is saying yes to the Lord. Because if you want to be successful, you have to say yes. Because He is the supreme being. Because when we are grateful, we will always say,
thank you and be thankful.
Mm-hmm. Because this leads to a tremendous and terrific and a most transforming day. Because when we choose to be joyous
and transformed, we are triumphant and victorious.
And we become very vibrant. And ultimately, it's wonder and awe when we just say yes and let God steer our lives.
This is truly wonderful.
Wonderful.
Amen. So I want to now just share a little bit of some stories that I learned. I came across Father James Martin. He's a Jesuit and author, and he's written a book called Between Heaven and Mirth, Why Joy, Humor, and Laughter Are at the Heart of the Spiritual Life. And he talks a lot about the saints and how they bring a lot of joy. Though he comes at it much like the previous author who talks about, often the saints are depicted as quite, sad and morose and gloomy, very unsmiling. But they there's a lot in their biographies that reveal that they are very joyful and energetic men and women who like to have a laugh. And so one of his examples of a story comes from, let's give this example.
I never, on that note, I never met a boring Jesuit priest.
That's true.
Because they're filled with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and they always bring a copious amounts and prodigious examples of joy and peace.
Indeed. So one example comes from St. Lawrence. He, in the 3rd century, was burned to death on a grill over hot coals and called out to his executioners, "This side is done. Turn me over and have a bite." In the 4th century, St. Augustine of Hippo puckishly prayed, "Give me chastity, but not yet."
Not yet, yes. He had many temptations, but in the end he overcame them all because he knew, because he was so restless, the only joy that he found was to choose the peace of turning his life over to Jesus. And that restless heart was at peace when he said yes, because nothing else in his life gave him peace but that.
That's so true. So that's something to always remember and think about. Another example, it comes from now Saint Pope John the 23rd, and there's lots of examples of his humor. He served as Pope from 1958 to 1963, and his most famous joke came when a journalist asked him, "Your Holiness, how many people work in the Vatican?" And John paused, thought it over, and said,
"About half."
Oh boy, I hope there's more than half of them working over there.
Sometimes it makes you wonder, but you know, maybe they're so happy that they can do their work in half the time.
Maybe that's it. Now, another story comes shortly after his election as Pope. Pope John was walking down the streets of Rome when a woman passed him and said to her friend, "My God, he's so fat." And overhearing her remark, he turned around and replied, "Madam, I trust you understand that the papal conclave is not exactly a beauty contest."
That's right. It's about love and joy.
Yeah. And so there's something endearing when someone recognizes that, you know, that they can make fun of themselves, right? Just like he is able to do in that little story.
Well, we have to laugh at ourselves too, right? We can't take ourselves too serious.
Too seriously at all. No, that's not good. Another story comes in the 1940s when John was still an archbishop and the papal nuncio or ambassador in Paris. He was at an elegant dinner party, and he was seated across from a woman wearing a very low-cut dress and exposed a good deal of cleavage. And someone turned to him and said, "Your Eminence, what a scandal! Aren't you embarrassed that everyone is looking at that woman?" And do you know what he said? He said, "Oh no, everyone is looking at me to see if I'm looking at her."
So true.
That's probably very, very true.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's see. What other stories do we have?
Well, I have a quote from Saint Mother Teresa. She said, "Joy is prayer. Joy is strength. Joy is love. Joy is a net of love by which you can catch souls. God loves a cheerful giver, but he also loves a grouch. She gives most who gives with joy. The best way to show our gratitude to God and the people is to accept everything with joy. A joyful heart is the inevitable result of a heart burning with love. Never let anything so fill you with sorrow as to make you forget the joy of the Christ risen."
Another story that we have from Pope John the 23rd is when the Pope was in a Roman hospital called the Hospital of the Holy Spirit. And shortly after entering, he was introduced to a sister who ran the hospital. And she said, "Holy Father, I'm the superior of the Holy Spirit." And he answered, "Well, I must say you're lucky." And the delighted Pope said, "I'm only the vicar of Christ."
Only?
Only. What a great sense of humor this simple man, this Pope, had. It's a reminder that we should always aim to have a sense of humor in life.
If I'm not mistaken, I also think he would always say, "Okay, Lord, I've done the best I can. I'm turning over the Vatican to you and all the prayers of everyone around the world. I'm going to sleep, so you take care of it." So
right, and I'm sure he had a really good night's sleep by doing that, turning it over to God. Again, a reminder to the way of soundly sleeping.
Let go and let God.
Amen. Let go and let God.
So Jesus' aim in all that he taught was the joy of his people. And I'm just going to share with you some quotes from the Bible. "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that you may be full of joy." Joy is what God fills us when we trust in Christ. "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing the kingdom of God is at joy." So what are some of the things that stop people from being joyous, Mary Angela?
Good question. What are they? Well, I guess the difficulties in life, they get caught up in, they're stuck in all that difficulty.
Yeah, because they have a lot of whatever mortgages, they got payments. Sometimes it's the weather. You wake up, it's a change of season.
Yeah, the gloomy weather.
Soon it'll be the change of the hour.
Yeah.
So.
And it's always better to, you're always in better humor when it's sunny, isn't it?
Sunny and shining.
A better mood.
Speaking of the changing an hour, in November they change the hour so you fall back. Sometimes people are not morning people or they're not night people. So these are some of the joy robbers that that are out there, because it's also, due to timing and weather, right? Those are other things. Stresses, and then sometimes you've had bad luck with friends. We have bosses that can be very demanding, right? We can have some friends that have let you down. These are what we call energy thieves, right? They take your joy, right? But they only take it if we
allow them to take it. Yeah,
that they can take. In some ways, nobody wants anything bad to happen to them. But sometimes we see the reality through the hardship, and then we really realize what's important and what we need.
Yeah, it really is a decision, isn't it, to be joyful?
Yeah, it is a decision. It takes not a lot of work. I think once you make
some effort,
the heart, I think most of the biggest thing in life is making a decision. Once you make a decision and stick with it, you know you're on track.
And if we're reminded that God is always with us, we can get through anything.
Yeah, because when you choose to be joyous, like you're happy, you trust, you know, you believe. More than half the battle, like with the doubt and the temptation and negativity, that doesn't exist. Because when someone is joyous, they know what they like. They know who they love. They know that Jesus is number one. So there aren't all those negativity or false things that creep into their lives. And they are aware when they come into their lives on people that try to take their joy away. Because believe you me, when you're joyous, you will attract a lot of flies, right? You'll be like honey.
Yes.
You'll attract a lot of bees too. So to say not to be joyous, but just be aware that the special people that will come into your life trying to take the honey away.
Yeah, but also we should remind everyone that when you smile, everyone smiles with you.
Yes, but so I think...
It's contagious, isn't it?
It's contagious, but from what I've been doing some research, that it's easier to frown. It takes less muscles to frown. It takes a lot more muscles and work to smile.
Mm-hmm.
So I found that interesting,
yeah,
right?
That is interesting.
That it takes even just a small effort to be joyous, right?
And but there's, again, like we were saying before, there's lots to gain from being happy and joyful.
We mentioned, yes, being joyful, being at peace. These are the goals that we strive for. Now, can we be joyous every day? No.
No.
But can we choose to be?
Yeah. Right?
And we know that you can't, in a hockey game, you can't win every game and you can't win every period. But what you can do is try to be positive throughout the day. You know,
like we were at the hockey game.
We had moments of highs and moments of lows.
Yeah, but the Leafs lost, yes, but we had fun there.
We had fun.
We enjoyed the game.
When you, yes, you said a very positive word, enjoyed. Whatever the circumstance, was it traffic, cold weather, we lost, we enjoyed our company together, and we were so grateful for having the ability just to go out in one of the best and the most liberated countries in the world, Canada, and just we chose to be joyful regardless of whatever the outcome was.
Yes, and I lost my train of thought, but
can't win them all. There's there's always tomorrow. So if that day wasn't good.
This is what I wanted to say. It's easy to focus on the negative. Let's focus on the positive sides of like in that going to the game, the positive that we were together, we enjoyed the evening. You know, we met good people there.
Yes.
So, it all adds to the atmosphere, the positivity.
So a prayer to receive Christ with joy. God of power and mercy, open our hearts in welcome. Remove the things that hinder us from receiving Christ with joy, so that we may share his wisdom and become one with him when he comes in glory. For he lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. So, another little story that I wanted to tell about Saint Pope the 23rd is he was born in a little town near Bergamo. That's up north, northern Italy. And there's a little story is that after he was elected pope, he met a little boy also named Angelo. And when he met him, he exclaimed, "That was my name too." And then he said, "But then they made me change it."
Interesting.
So cute little stories from Saint Pope, the John the 23rd. He must have been such a great man, full of humor. They also called him the good pope, didn't they?
Yeah, he was very good. So I have as much as we try to be all positive and joyful, sometimes there is joy in the suffering. First of all, it was taught by Jesus, "Blessed are you when people hate you." So rejoice in that day and leap for joy. It comes from the Holy Spirit. It comes from the belonging to the kingdom of God. These are all steps into turning our sufferings to one day be joyous. It comes from our faith. It comes from seeing and knowing Jesus as our Lord. It comes from fellow believers who work hard and have copious amounts of forgiveness. And it comes from sanctifying the effects of tribulation, because this too shall pass. When we stay encouraged and endure, because we know through whatever tribulations or suffering, joy Just like the resurrection, there is no resurrection without the cross.
We're almost at the end of our program. And so I guess in summary, I think what this all leads to, you know, in learning about the joy of the saints and all these reflections on joy, the whole point is how to be joyful. What it boils down to is being simple, being humble, being aware of our own limitations. These all lead to being joyful. Do you want to add anything, Nick?
Well, I'd like to say joy is a choice. Joy will take some effort. Nothing good is ever easy. But what happens is we grow closer to the Lord. So these are some of the things that we shared with you. And always remember to laugh. Because when you choose joy, the fastest way to become joyous is to laugh. And to let go and let God.
Amen. Have that great sense of humor, yes. Always.
So we would like to close this evening with a prayer. It's called Prayer for Everlasting Joy. Father, help us to seek the values that will bring us lasting joy in this changing world. In our desire for what you promise, make us one in mind, body, and spirit. Grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. So thank you for joining us this evening. We are
Nick
and Mariangela
Massa.
Thank you for joining us for our program, Jesus With Us, Reflections of Joy. Please join us again next month. It'll be in the second week of December on Wednesday, December the 13th, when we will be reflecting on the joy of Christmas. So again, thank you. We wish you a peaceful and joyful evening.
And remember, make joy the first choice that will lead you to Jesus.
Thank you. God bless.
And amen.
The joy of Jesus be with you, and may the joy of Jesus be with you. May the joy of Jesus be with you. May you know the joy of Jesus, and may the joy of Jesus.
You have been listening to Jesus With Us, Reflections of Joy, hosted by Mariangela Artuso and Nick Massa.